Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm going to Disney World.
And that will end this game.
The articles of impeachment did not charge an impeachable offense.
I don't think the American people wanted the president removed.
Re-elect Donald Trump in November and fire Nancy Pelosi and Tlaib for being in charge of the House.
I think he's a communist. I mean, you know, look, I think of communism when I think of Bernie.
How about those Chiefs?
How about those Chiefs? That's awesome. Andy Reid last night having a little bit of fun. Post-game.
Well-deserved.
No kidding. What a fantastic effort. Mahomes, everybody was just about to get down on him, and then he came back in the fourth quarter.
As he's done before.
I fell asleep at the only exciting part of that game.
That's too bad.
I watched the whole darn thing. And then
I missed the best part.
I woke up with 5 minutes left in the game. I fell asleep like somewhere in the third, woke up with 5 minutes left, and I'm like, what happened?
Maybe it's because you fell asleep that things turned around.
You're welcome, universe.
Could have been. That could have been. I was in the car with the radio turned down, and I missed the touchdown that got him back to, you know, 17 to 20 or whatever. So
yeah, while you were driving, I was snoozing.
I know. I had to get home and get ready for bed.
Maybe we did help by tuning out for just a few minutes.
Could have been it. We were a curse for them. That's for sure.
Welcome, Chiefs Nation.
Yeah, good Monday morning to you, and welcome into the show, Mark and Tricia and Denise, Sue in here this morning with you. And I have to brag a little bit. I surprisingly got to take my 20th Street exit this morning. I thought it would be closed.
10 o'clock.
Supposed to be closed effective today, so I'm all prepared to take a different route. And lo and behold, there was no barriers. So I drove it. At breakneck speeds one last time.
One last time, yes. Closes the 10.
They're all shutting down there.
Bittersweet day.
Just so you know. So you should be okay on your drive in this morning, and but not on your drive home tonight, if that's how you get back on the interstate, just so you know. We're going to get to everything for you this morning. Listen, coming up about 6:20, we got a guy on here who's written a book about not only is he a former White House speechwriter, he's written a lot of State of the Union speeches, but he's also got a new book out now about the transition of power, the very first transition of power in this country back when George Washington left office. So anxious to talk to Jonathan Horn. He's coming up here about 6:20. Right now, let's get to Hans, please.
Hans von Spakovsky, you know, the former emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Hans, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Is it a state holiday in Missouri today?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
And Kansas, too, apparently, according to the president.
Well, that way both states can share the joy.
Well, they do anyway, right? I mean, come on. You know, most of the people in Kansas are Chiefs fans. When I saw that was the lead story on the Hill this morning, I'll have to admit I was a little disappointed.
Yeah, well, look, they're not going to be able to impeach him and carry him out of the White House, so they got to get him some other way. You know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. You know, I was watching Alan Dershowitz on Fox News Sunday yesterday with Chris Wallace, and Dershowitz is he's come out fighting because of the way his arguments last week were twisted by the media in this country, and they really were.
You know, yeah, they were. I mean, he's making a constitutional argument. Look, he's made it very plain. He voted for Hillary Clinton in the last election. But what he's saying is that the Democrats are using the impeachment process for partisan political purposes. They don't have a case under the way the impeachment clause is supposed to be used under the Constitution. And look, he's one of the leading constitutional law experts in the country, and he's a liberal, but he's saying this impeachment has been done wrong.
Well, you know, here's what I'm a little upset about. They could have ended this all on Friday, they being McConnell and the Republicans. Instead, for some reason, they decided to wait until Wednesday. The thing I don't like about that is I really would have preferred the president be able to give this State of the Union address without this thing still hanging over his head. I mean, the outcome is obvious. We all know he's not going to be found guilty or convicted by the Senate. Why not just get it over with?
Look, I don't know. I'm with you. I think that would have been better. But on the other hand, remember, his job, it's like shepherding cats. You know, he has all these independent senators, and they're not used to working on weekends. You know, they're leaving town. They're leaving Washington by Thursday afternoon, Friday morning to head home. And they've been in the chamber. They've been in the Senate chamber more in the past 2 weeks than many of them probably in their entire career.
Yeah, that's a good point. We did have Senator Blunt on here from Missouri last week, and he admitted that he had tickets to the Super Bowl on Sunday. I imagine a lot of them probably did.
Yeah, I think they probably did. That's right.
So they wanted to get out of town and go watch the Super Bowl, but, you know, they could have come back today and done it. Now, I know today is the Democrats would have hated that because today's the Iowa caucus.
Well, it is, but they are actually going to be in session today starting at 11 o'clock for 4 hours of closing arguments. And then the vote is on Wednesday.
That has got to just kill Klobuchar, who thinks she's gaining ground, and Sanders and Warren, who would all rather be out there campaigning.
Well, yeah, and you know, I have no idea why the Republicans scheduled the way they did, but maybe that's one of the reasons why they didn't have the vote on Friday.
You can never. Every time I underestimate Mitch McConnell, I'm usually sorry for it afterwards.
Yeah. So is Chuck Schumer.
Yeah. That's very true. Well, you know, so Wednesday, we should get a final vote on this, and it'll be over with, at least from the president's point of view, in the face of everything else that's going on. You know, despite that, he's had a pretty successful couple of political weeks with the NAFTA agreement, the replacement being signed, and China trade deals and Mideast peace plans. I mean, he's just kept on trucking.
He has, and the economy is just blasting along. You know, the stock market has reached record highs. Wages, you know, the records show the wages have been going up steadily, not just for upper class folks, but for blue collar people too. So, you know, he's got a pretty good record he can brag about on Tuesday when he does his State of the Union address.
Yeah, it ought to be interesting to see, that's for sure. Listen, Hans, we appreciate your time, all of us here in Missouri and Kansas. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care of yourself. Hans von Spakovsky, Heritage Foundation Senior Legal Fellow. Always great to get him on here. H. von Spakovsky on Twitter. Worth a follow. 314-241-9797. We're going to talk to the author of a new book about George Washington and the very first transition of power in this country. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Very little. I just think of little. You know, now he wants a box for the debates to stand on. Okay, it's okay. There's nothing wrong. You can be short. Why should he get a box to stand on, okay? He wants a box for the debates.
You like that one?
That is not what I expected to come out of that. So Michael Bloomberg wants a box to stand on because of his stature. What, could you imagine these two on a stage if he didn't? I mean, Trump's like 6'4".
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know.
So there's the president yesterday talking about his political rivals. He's got the State of the Union tomorrow night. It's going to be interesting in the midst of all this impeachment stuff going on in the background. We've asked Jonathan Horn to join us this morning. He's a former White House presidential speechwriter for George W. Bush, and he's also an author with a new book out about George Washington. Jonathan, welcome in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on here. You know, before I get to the book, if you were Donald Trump's speechwriter for the State of the Union tomorrow night, what kind of tone are you expecting him to strike?
I'm expecting a relatively normal sounding State of the Union. Just having the president give the speech tomorrow night is going to be a very big moment for the president at a time when people are debating whether he should stay in office. He's going to give a speech that makes him look his most presidential. And Donald Trump has proven to be a very, very effective deliverer of the State of the Union in the past.
Well, he has, and he's also better. I call the difference between teleprompter Trump and off the cuff Trump. It's always a little more stodgy when it's teleprompter Trump, but it's usually some of his best content delivery.
I think the staging and the specter of the State of the Union really actually play to a strength, and one of the reasons is people don't usually see him like that,
right,
and they're surprised that he can excel in a format like that.
Well, he's gotten better at it. There's no doubt about that. He's had plenty of practice here recently, for sure. How many years did you work for President Bush?
I was with President Bush for the final years of his presidency, and I was one of the writers who worked on the 2008 State of the Union. And I say writers because the State of the Union is such a big speech that requires multiple writers to be on hand to help the president with it.
Oh, interesting. So you don't think Stephen Miller is the only one writing the State of the Union address?
Not in a typical White House. You would usually have multiple writers sort of dividing the speech up into sections.
Yeah.
I assume Stephen Miller is overseeing the overall aspect of the speech.
Do you miss it?
I'm happy to be writing history. It's a lot easier.
I'll bet it is. The book that you've got out is called Washington's End, The Final Years and the Forgotten Struggle. And part of what you cover in there is the transition of power and how amazing that was at that point in our history.
Right. I think people don't realize just how revolutionary this was at the moment. When George Washington left the presidency, it was at a time when leaders rarely gave up power. And I think we don't understand how difficult it was for George Washington. In fact, just a little bit more than a year after leaving the presidency, he was drawn back to command the armies of the United States amid a war scare. So he left power, but then he was called back to power very shortly after leaving the presidency.
Well, he was urged to stay, wasn't he? I mean, there were people urging him to run for yet another term.
Oh, yes. And he had actually wanted to retire after his first term as president, but he was persuaded that the country would fall apart unless he stayed on for a second. And then after the second, he said, no matter what you say, I'm out of here this time because I want to leave. But actually, people don't realize that people were hoping they could get him to run again 4 years after he retired. Of course, George Washington died before that election.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff. And you talk about the struggles that he had when he left office. And I went down to visit his farm there just south of Washington's at Mount Vernon when I was there. And it's just an amazing piece of history, how well preserved that is. What were you able to draw out about why did he struggle after his presidency?
Well, he really wanted to live out his days on that beautiful farm, as you say, Mount Vernon. He wanted to live out his days in peace as a farmer. But his final days were anything but peaceful. There were many people who were trying to draw him back into the political feuds of the day. And as I said, he ended up being called back out of retirement during a serious war scare. And he had to accept command of the United States armies amid a war scare with France. And he ended up in very serious feuds with his successors. So it doesn't really play out the way we think it played out. It played out very differently, and it was anything but a peaceful retirement.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story, and you've used the words of the people that were around Washington at the time to kind of set up what he was going through.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I wanted to do. I wanted to give you a sense of what it was like to live during that time period. And the only way to do that is to put you into the words and the heads of the people who lived back then.
You know, I think what's fascinating these days and what some people lose sight of, Jonathan, and we're talking to Jonathan Horn, who's written this book about, it's called Washington's End, is that we've actually got people out there, and of course, this is a conservative talk show that you're on this morning, people on the other side of the aisle suggesting somehow that if Donald Trump was to lose the election in 2020, he might refuse to leave office, that there wouldn't be a peaceful transition of power. I think people have kind of lost sight of how this process works. I don't think there's a chance in the world that happening.
I completely agree. I mean, we have the precedents that George Washington set. We have a constitutional amendment, and I think President Trump, if he lost the election, which is, of course, is no certainty at all, but if he did lose, I think he would certainly obey the precedent of the country and the laws of the country. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I don't think there is either. Tell people more about the book. It's not in release yet. It's coming up on the 11th.
Yes, but it's available for pre-order now, wherever books are sold. And I guess what the last thing I'd like to leave your listeners with is that I think if you read this book, you will leave with an even greater respect for George Washington, because only by understanding how difficult it was for George Washington to give up power can you appreciate what a truly great man he was.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would agree with that completely. The book is called Washington's End, The Final Years in the Forgotten Struggle. It's in you can pre-buy it right now on Amazon. And, of course, it officially is released on February 11th. Jonathan Horn, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Good to have you on here. And glad to be out of the politics these days, according to Jonathan Horn. Glad he's not a speechwriter anymore. Interesting. I tell you, have you ever been to Mount Vernon?
I have not.
You need to go. You need to make that a goal to get down there, because it is like stepping back in history to go into George Washington's
home. Would love to do that.
Sure, yeah.
Within 30 or 40 years of his, within a very short period of time after his death, I mean, the property never changed hands, and a group of people came in and saved it. They preserved that home. Most of what you see in there is the furniture that George Washington used. And the history surrounding it it's an amazing thing to see how they've preserved that farm. And then you go down to where the president and his wife are buried, and it's just an open vault, basically, where you can see their marble sarcophagus right there within touch. There's a gate. You can't get to it, but it's an amazing experience. You should go do that. Let's get to a break here. 314-241-9797. Markets got a little rocky on Friday because of this coronavirus. We're going to check in with Jennifer Kashinka when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So there's apparently been a run on face masks, right?
Yeah.
That you like protect yourself with for dogs.
I just printed this story for you.
For
people. No.
Well, no, there's probably a run
too,
on them,
right?
For people,
okay.
Too. People are freaking out a little bit, but... people are trying to protect their dogs.
People love their pups.
Now, so...
Do they make kitty-sized ones?
Do they make what?
See? People love their animals. Those kittens have changed you, Denise.
No.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to hear that's what they're running out of, though. Are the face masks for dogs. You know, when I was at Home Depot...
You and Trish are first in line.
That's some garbage I would do. Get my dog a face mask and walk around
exposed. Now, wait a minute. When I was at Home Depot this weekend, I went into that aisle, the paint department, mm-hmm. and there were plenty of those things, plenty of face masks.
Okay.
I happened to be in the paint aisle looking for tape or something, and their glue, and they had some right there.
Oh, they figured out how to restock those, but not the chicken sandwiches at Popeye's, huh?
No, they can't figure that one out. But
priorities.
You can find... You can apparently find masks for dogs. They make face masks just for dogs. I didn't know that.
I didn't
Go
either.
Figure. I guess for dogs that do rescue and stuff like that. Anyway. just so you know.
Good.
The coronavirus is affecting a lot of things right now. In fact, I see Jennifer Kashinka, where the Chinese markets are reacting pretty negatively again this morning, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the first time they've been open since their holiday, so.
Okay.
Yeah. It's ugly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So impacting us then, because that had something to do with our drop on Friday, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Right now, futures are higher in the U.S. as investors continue to assess the coronavirus risks on global markets. As we mentioned, Chinese stocks skidded today as investors got their first chance in more than a week to react to the virus that's gripping the country. But action was muted in other markets that had already priced in some of that into their markets. On Friday, the Dow Industrials plunged 603. The NASDAQ lost 148. Now, the virus has disrupted worldwide trade and supply chains, depressed asset prices, and forced multinational businesses to make some hard decisions with limited information. Apple said over the weekend it will close all of its stores and corporate offices in China through February 9th. Levi Strauss, which in October opened its biggest China store in Wuhan, is among the international brands that together have closed thousands of outlets around the country, including McDonald's and Starbucks. The Wall Street Journal says potentially hazardous wiring inside Boeing 737 MAX jets is the latest flashpoint between U.S. and European regulators and a further complication in the grounded fleet's return to service. Technical experts at the European Union Aviation Safety Agency want certain electrical wires relocated to reduce what they say are dangers from potential short circuits, which in a worst-case scenario could disrupt flight control systems. But engineers at the plane maker and high-ranking FAA managers contend moving the wiring is not necessary. Forever 21 has reached a deal to sell the retail chain to a consortium of buyers, including landlord Simon Property Group, Brookfield Property Partners, and Authentic Brands for $81 million. The Los Angeles-based fast fashion retailer filed for bankruptcy in September after years of expansion worldwide with no clear plan on how to restructure and exit bankruptcy. The first treatment for peanut allergy has won approval from the FDA. The drug Palforzia will list for $890 a month. The treatment, approved for those ages 4 to 17, won't make it possible for children with a life-threatening condition to have a peanut butter sandwich, but it could bring long-sought relief to families that have had to build their lives around avoiding exposure. Patients who are prescribed Palforzia, which contains small amounts of peanuts, take gradually increasing doses to build their resistance. The FCC has voted to approve a $20.4 billion fund designed to ensure that residents in rural areas of the country have access to broadband internet connections. The agency says the move was its single biggest step to date to close the digital divide, but two of the five agency commissioners dissented in part to the plan, saying, among other things, it relied on faulty data. And during advertising's biggest night, Super Bowl Sunday, marketers battled it out to bolster their brands and promote new products. Advertisers paid up to $5.6 million for 30 seconds, and almost 100 million people tuned into the big game. This year, Hyundai and Jeep scored with whimsical humor by poking fun at Boston accents and reuniting the Groundhog Day cast. Google struck heartstrings with a quiet message about aging and remembrance. Cheetos and Doritos both played off exaggerated dancing to good effect, but Pop-Tarts and a Hard Rock action movie commercial failed to connect with viewers.
Mark? Yeah, I think a lot of them got ripped off.
Yeah.
They paid way too much for ads that, for the most part, were a flop. Which one was your favorite, Jennifer?
Oh, I didn't really.
You didn't pay much attention?
No.
I thought the Bill Murray, my favorite vote, and I think Denise agrees with me, that Bill Murray ad was,
people like that a lot.
Most memorable.
I like that one, and I like the Boston parking one a lot, and then the Jason Momoa one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are probably my top three.
Wasn't a great year, I don't think.
No, but I would agree with that. Jennifer, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Yeah, appreciate that. That's good. Yeah, I think hands down for me, the Doritos one wasn't bad, but hands down for me, I think the Bill Murray spot, as I remember them last night.
Yeah, I just, the movie, I'm not a big fan of the movie, but I still liked the commercial. I was just I get it, but gosh, that movie. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not a huge Bill Murray fan, but I did find the commercial funny because I get what they were, doing with the whole throwback to the movie. But they should have had the gopher. That would have been good.
Yeah.
I just watched commercial late. It was cute.
Oh, the Murray commercial, you just watched it today?
That must have happened while I was sleeping.
Yeah.
I fell asleep at the wrong time. Everything
happens to people.
Everything. You missed the comeback.
It's insane.
Here's a funny story for you. Now, we talked to Tom Ackerman last week about this game. And one of the things we talked to Tom Ackerman about is the betting and why, how people would bet. You could bet on just about anything on this game. Like, who was going to win the coin toss, who was going to score the first touchdown, who was going to do this, who was going to do that. Did you know that there were, that one of the biggest bets in Vegas was on how many yards Patrick Mahomes would run? Okay. And you could bet the over or the under. And did you notice right at the end of the game, when the Chiefs were trying to run the clock down, Mahomes took the ball and he backpedaled. Did you see that?
Yes, a couple times.
Well, every time he did that, they subtracted yards from his run total for the game. Like, if he ran backwards, he lost yardage.
Okay.
So these people who had bet the over on what he would run ended up losing. This is an incredible story, right? So they ended up losing a couple of $100,000. I'm trying to look. Not like any one individual, but it was close to a six-figure swing in favor of the house, because the bet was to up as high as 36.5. So Mahomes had 44 yards entering the final possession, but he ran backwards and kneeled to burn a few seconds off the clock, which made them deduct 15 yards from his total. So he finished with only 29 rushing yards, and anybody who picked the over lost. The six figures plus that the bettors that in Vegas won all that, got to keep all that money.
Good for the house.
Who knew?
No kidding.
One of the dangers of
gambling,
spending your hard-earned money on that, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway, now that we're on the subject, because we're going to have him on here in the 8 o'clock hour, Tom Ackerman, who I, you know, often jokingly refer to as the Dalai Lama of sports, because he's got this cool, clear, calm picture. He never gets fired, never gets too fired up, for the most part, about sports. So he was in here last week, and I asked him his best prediction for the outcome of the game. Roll the tape.
I think that the Chiefs win by a score of somewhere in the neighborhood of 31-20.
Okay.
Wow.
I think that they'll pull away and win the game by 11 points. I'm going to say 31-20 Chiefs.
How about that?
Yeah, how take that did guy he to Vegas do with that?
The dude nailed it, and he doesn't bet, so I know he didn't go put any money on that, but he should have.
Maybe after the show, he was like, maybe I should give that a try this time. We'll have to ask.
Ackerman was spot on. Like, he was the first text I got last night after the Chiefs won was from Ackerman. What did I tell you last week? That's what he says to me. I thought it was pretty good.
That's awesome. That is good.
So we got folks calling in here on hold who want to talk about the commercials and what they liked and what they didn't like. So if you got a thought on it, 314-241-9797. Steve, Dave, hold the line. I got a few lines left open, and we'll get to your phone calls when we come back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm going to Disney World.
Yeah, me too. I'd be going. Apparently, he's going today. And Annie Fry is in Disney today.
She sure is.
And she's pretty excited about the fact that Mahomes is going to show up down there.
Mahomes is having a good week.
He is.
Super Bowl ring and a trip to Disney?
I guess so.
Jeez.
It's
some
true.
Some people have it all.
So, the halftime show last night.
Yeah, it happened.
Was inappropriate, in my opinion.
It was entertaining.
Maybe, but as a parent who was sitting on the couch with my 12-year-old daughter sitting there with me because I thought she would enjoy the dancing and the Shakira and all that, I didn't need her to see pole dancing.
As much as she saw,
I really didn't need that. Let me get to a couple of callers here. I asked people to call in with their reaction to the game last night, the ads, the halftime show, all of that. Carolyn, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
I love your show. I listen to it every morning.
Oh, thank you.
I also agree. I think the halftime show was really disappointing. I was very, very upset with how both of them, you know, I was really surprised at J-Lo, really, with her costumes. They just not really set for kids. And the bad part is that I think it's like, this is like the norm. This is what is happening and what people are going to see now.
Well, if it had been Madonna, I would have expected something like that. I didn't expect it out of J-Lo for some reason. I thought it would be a little more subdued, lots of dancing and all that. But the whole, you know, grabbing the crotch, hip thrusting, dancing on a pole, I didn't expect.
Wasn't she just in a movie with the pole dancing thing?
Oh, a stripper movie. She was.
Yeah.
She was in a stripper movie?
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
Liar.
I'm just kidding. Right. I did not know that. Carolyn, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
You know,
have a great day.
Yeah, you too, and thank you for listening. Something else I didn't realize till somebody just pointed it out a minute ago here as I was looking at social media during that break. The lead story on the Daily Mail today is that J-Lo made a political statement last night that I completely missed. That when she brought those little kids out on stage, she had a Hispanic-looking girl in a cage singing Born in the USA.
She had a...
In a cage?
Yeah, there's a picture of it here. So apparently at some point there were kids in a cage on the stage swinging, and this article is claiming that it was a political statement by J-Lo on immigration. Latino children in cages singing Born in the USA. I didn't pick up on that.
I did pick up on the political statement in general. I didn't pick up on the cages, the direct link to it. There were multiple cages. Huh. I thought it was just part of the production.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of them. Yeah. But they don't, honestly, like, that doesn't strike me as a cage. Like, that wouldn't have been the first thing that popped in my head seeing this.
I didn't make the connection until the Hispanic thing
and the Born in the USA. I did see that.
Let me get to Dave here on line two. Dave, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
How about the old Jay-Z and Beyonce not standing for the national anthem at our Super Bowl?
Yeah, I did not see that. I did not notice that.
I wish nobody would have seen it.
Yeah, no kidding. I was watching, and I thought that I don't know if any players knelt or not. If they did, the TV cameras were very careful not to capture
it.
They didn't really show pictures of the players, right?
Right.
So I don't know if any of them did.
A lot of players with hands over their hearts and singing along, and that
I enjoyed kneeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true. That's a good point, Dave. Thanks for pointing that out. I did not get to see that. Steve, you're on the radio. What's on your mind?
I'm going back to work today, Mark.
Oh, good. Good, buddy. Glad you're back.
Yeah, me too. Hey, I have to agree. First of all, the halftime, I actually sent a text to a friend of mine, and she said she missed it, so I told her it was a good thing. But the commercials, I have to agree, they totally flop. Google, for whatever reason, all they did was say, look, we're collecting your information. Keep sending it to us.
Yeah, please.
You know, the only commercial I really enjoyed and liked was Donald Trump's.
Well, that is a good one. I would agree. And Steve, I'm going to run out of time, but good points. I appreciate the call, man.
Have a good day.
All right, take care of yourself. Appreciate that. Yeah, I thought Trump's ad was very effective. Still like the Bill Murray ad the best, I would have to say. All right, I need to get to a break here. Rodney Boyd, Rod the Bod, coming up. Lots going on in Jeff City, and we'll get to all that right after this break.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.